This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
This is Josh Kelso here with Tom Engsted and Tyler Azeltine, talking today about the importance of the gospel in daily living. The importance of the gospel in daily living. The gospel is a common religious term used by many, and yet it is also a misunderstood truth or misrepresented truth oftentimes. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, it's to be of first importance for the believer. He also gives a warning in Galatians 1, 6, and 7, where he talks about being surprised that the Galatians are deserting Christ for a different gospel, which he says is really not another. So what we find is that the gospel is supremely important for the Christian life, and it is a definitive truth. That is, it's a truth or collection of truths that should not be deviated from. Tom, I'd love to hear from you as we're contemplating the importance of the gospel in daily living. I think it's crucially important to have a good understanding of what the gospel is. If you had 2 minutes to share the gospel with someone, what would you say? Are there specific go-to passages you would want to show them from Scripture? How would you help someone understand what the gospel is?
Great question, Josh. I think it's starting with the gospel, just knowing the word gospel means good news. And I do believe it's a kindness of the Lord that he tells us the bad news. Mm-hmm. Romans 3:23 is clear that all have fallen short of his glory. All have sinned. And so in knowing the bad news, the go-to I love is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And it's the picture of the substitutionary atonement of what Christ did on the cross. And we know from 5:21 that he made him, and that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. At the core of the gospel is what Jesus accomplished on the cross. It's what nobody can do for themselves. We can never atone for our own sin. But here, the perfect one, Jesus, became sin on our behalf. And it's just interesting that in becoming sin on our behalf, what we benefit is reconciliation. We are at peace with God. Mm. And so as bad as the bad news is, the good news is Jesus paid the penalty of my sin. That's at the core of the gospel. Mm.
That's helpful. So the gospel, it reconciles us to God. Paul talks about in Romans 8:1, there's no more condemnation. Why? Because Christ bore it. And so he paid the penalty for our sin. Now we're reconciled to God. So the gospel has dramatic impact on our eternity. We also know the gospel has radical impact in light of our forgiveness of sin, freedom from sin, on how we live today. And I love that about the gospel, that what God has done is not only secured our eternity, but has also enabled our present to be able to be worshipful, God glorifying, honoring to him. Tyler, when you think about your daily living in light of the gospel, so you take that truth that Tom just put forth, it's oftentimes referred to as penal substitutionary atonement. Christ paid the penalty as a substitute, atoning for our sin, making right before God us, because he grants to us his righteousness as if it were our own, and he takes our judgment, our condemnation, as if it was his own, which is just overwhelming to think about in the first place. When we think about that truth and that reality, being freed from sin, freed from the penalty of sin, freed from the power of sin, what does that look like practically? What are some ways that that manifests itself practically in daily living for the Christian? So how does the truth of the gospel, how does that really intersect with everyday living for Christ? Things like parenting, work, being a husband or a friend, maybe even how we fight sin. How are all of those things influenced by the gospel?
Yeah, as I hear that question, I've been turning to Galatians quite a bit the last year or two, as our fellowship group went through it, and I'm one of my favorite gospel verses is Galatians 2:16. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, Paul's telling Peter here, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. The gospel is so personally applicable to me. It was applicable to the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. Even at the end of there, that verse, no flesh will be justified by the works of the law, by any other means other than God's grace. And so as I hear your question, the first thing I think of is I need to be about proclaiming the gospel because it is what my family needs and what my children, my wife, my coworkers need to hear. Then as I think about my life personally, listen to a couple verses later. Verse 19 says, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So the gospel just has given us new life. The gospel has given us, everyone who has believed in it, a new purpose for life. Life is now aimed towards God. It is for God, he says. And then the means, the tools for accomplishing God's purpose in our living are new as well. Life is not for me, it's for God. It is according to his strength, not according to mine. My strength, my priorities, my righteous living is what got me into this mess. But God has called me to walk in a way that is pleasing to him for him. And so as I think about different areas of life, I really over and over and over again need to reprioritize. Tom, like you've said, you need to be careful with your thinking. In light of the gospel, my parenting is not about raising kids that I can be proud of or having a home that is just a place of peace and rest and comfort. But I should be thinking, Lord, because of what you have done for me, I want to glorify you in this moment. I want to glorify you in how I care for my children. They need this gospel, and I need to honor you in how I live in light of the gospel.
Tyler, that is just a reminder of 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, the whatever you do, whether it's playing with your kids, it's teaching your kids, it's caring for your wife, whatever you do, what's my purpose? It's for God's glory, and just a great reminder of how the gospel applies to just thinking about what has God purposed me to do?
Yeah, that makes me think of 2 Corinthians, where Paul talks about if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And that being brought from spiritual death to spiritual life, there's a transformation there that takes place where once you were living for your own glory, now you're living for God's glory. And Paul talks in Romans 5 about how God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And John, the Apostle John, talks about in 1 John that we love because he first loved us. And so we're enemies of God. We hate God. We suppress truth and unrighteousness. He interjects his love. He lavishes grace. He grants faith, transforms us, brings us to spiritual life in the gospel. And then the gospel's impact on our life is new desires, new thinking, new purpose, new allegiance, where once we were living for ourselves, now we're being motivated by living for God. And so it's really a complete heart disposition. It's what Jesus talks about with Nicodemus in John 3, where you're reborn. Yeah. You're right. A new creation. You're rebirthed unto spiritual life. And now you want to do what you just said, Tom, which is glorify God in every aspect of life. That's what the gospel does for the believer. Tom, talk a little bit about thinking and when the believer made a new creation wants to please God with their life. How does the gospel intersect within our thinking, and how does that promote godliness?
The first thing that comes to mind when I think about how I think is a verse like John 17:3, that this is eternal life, and that this is the gospel. This is eternal life, that they would know the one true God and his son, Jesus, that he has sent. God's design is to know. What I know is what impacts my thinking. Mm. So for me to be thinking rightly, it has to be based on what I know. And for the believer, what we know about God comes from his word. Mm. Has to impact our thinking. My biggest problem is my thinking apart from God's word.
Mm. Yeah, that's helpful in thinking through instruction from Paul from Colossians 3, set your mind on things above. And then he launches into the practical Christian living, fleeing the old manner of the flesh, living in the spirit, interaction in the church with other believers, interacting in home, like all of that is to be rooted out of a renewed mind dwelling on things above. And even Paul, again in Romans 12, after 11 of the richest theological chapters putting forth the complexity and sweetness, well, not even complexity, but just the sweetness and details of the gospel, then says, therefore, I urge you by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifices, live worshipfully by the mercies of God that are brought about within the gospel, not being conformed to the ways of the world or squeezed into the pattern of the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when he talks about renewing your mind, if you just look contextually, he's not talking about impressions or ideas. He's talking about renewing your mind with what he's just put forth in the truth of the gospel. So the reality of who you are in Christ, as you talked about referencing Romans 3, that you were dead in transgressions and sins, that the wages of sin is death, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, those types of truths, then in light of the gospel become radically transformed, where you're no longer in bondage to those ways of life, the sin, the love for self. You're freed from that because of the love of God. In Romans 6, Paul dives into where we were once slaves to sin. Now grace reigns. We're slaves to righteousness. Stop putting on the shackles of living like you did prior to God's grace, but live for him. And all these wonderful truths flow out of that. And so part of living in light of the gospel is mind renewal of the truths of who God is and what he's done and what he's accomplished. And then also, I've heard you, Tom, talk a lot about the believer's identity, who you are in Christ. And as a follower of Christ, you're a new creation, as I referenced, and you have new desires. You want to please God. You right. Make it your ambition within your identity.
A go-to verse that I go to frequently is Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God clearly tells us that his thoughts are not our thoughts. I don't think like God thinks. Mm. And he's so kind to tell me, Tom, you don't think the way I think. And the only way I am going to have God's thoughts is from his word. Mm. That's the only way I'm going to know the mind of God.
Hmm. Yeah, which just shows the crucial nature of the role that the Bible should play in Christian thinking, Christian living. I think there's a big push or common view in evangelical Christianity of having the Lord speak to you or hearing from the Lord. And a lot of times people want some sort of supernatural impression or guidance. They look to those things more than they actually look to what God has clearly revealed in God's word. And what God has called us to is mind renewal, not in our own impressions or feelings or even our own convincing ourselves that God is telling us to do something, and then we neglect what God's word has actually said we are called to do and be. It's much more stable, much clearer. It's actually how God has chosen to speak to his people is the Bible. And so the Bible needs to play a crucial role in our heart shepherding with the truths of the gospel.
That's excellent.
Tom, you've walked with the Lord for some time now. How long have you been a Christian?
42 years.
42 years. So yes, just a little longer than I've been alive.
Before gray hair.
Before gray hair. Praise God. That is a testimony to his grace in your life, faithfully pursuing him and living for him. That is an encouragement. Tell me this, Tom. What do you wish you had understood about the gospel in your early years as a Christian that you understand better now? If you were counseling or discipling a young man and wanted to impart wisdom that you've learned over 42 years of walking with Christ, what would you point to? What would you draw attention to?
You know, Josh, it's really an easy question because, as I know we have talked, Ann and I talk, when we were first saved, we viewed the gospel as a one-time event that changed me to salvation. And we didn't talk about the gospel's work in our sanctification. And again, as we grow as believers, it's knowledge of God from God's word. You know, I think of 2 Peter 1:3 that Jesus' divine power gives us everything we need for life and for godliness through the knowledge of him. And so if the gospel was sufficient for understanding what salvation is, the gospel is necessary to understand my sanctification. And it will motivate my sanctification. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. And if there was one thing that I wish I had a different thought back when I was 28 years old, when I became a believer, was this gospel I cling to for salvation is what I need in my sanctification.
It's really good. It makes me think of what Paul talks about in Philippians. I love how in chapter 1, verse 6, he talks about he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And God saves us, and it is his power working in us. And yet, just a few verses later in chapter 2, Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so there's this reality. God saved us when we were enemies. We hated him. We suppressed truth about him. We were unrighteous, godless sinners, as I think I mentioned before from Romans 5. And yet he pulled us out of that. That is a divine act of God bringing us from spiritual death to spiritual life. And in light of our salvation, he calls us to live for him. He's not only our Savior, but he's our Lord. And so our life is now to be devoted to living for his glory, as you talked about previously, Tom. And so in thinking through that, we, in response to the gospel and through the power of the gospel, are not only saved from sin, but we're saved unto righteousness, to pursue holiness. And I think a lot of times it's easy to miss that. We love to revel in salvation from condemnation, but we miss pursuing holiness in light of our salvation. And what's beautiful about the gospel is that we serve to please God, not to appease him. Christ has already paid the penalty. He's covered all of our sins. And in response to the love that we have for God now, because we love him because he first loved us, as the Apostle John says in 1 John, now we live a life wanting to please him out of love for him. And as Paul says in Philippians 1:6, God's going to bring it to completion. But we have a responsibility to apply ourselves to sanctification, looking to the truths of the gospel, renewing our minds with the truth of the gospel. And what does Paul repeat at the end of those verses? For it is God who is at work in you to will and work his good pleasure. And so we get to work at our salvation. And when we grow, it's him working in us. I love how God's done that. He calls us that we were called to own our sanctification, to pursue it actively and intentionally. It's not something we just let go and let God. No, we are called to pursue earnestly holiness out of love for Jesus. And when thinking about the gospel, how could we not? If we're thinking right about the gospel, why would we not? Why would we want to do anything other than that? And when we actually grow and are sanctified and please the Lord, we know it's him at work in us. And so we get all the benefits. Holiness in our life benefits us dramatically. It is only good for us when we walk in obedience. And God gets all the glory because any efforts we apply ourselves to or put towards growing in holiness where we actually have success in that, it's only an evidence of him working in us. Like you shared earlier, Tyler, from Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I'm called to live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Prior to Christ, we just wanted to walk in our own righteousness. We just wanted to live for ourselves. We wanted to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. But now part of the gospel makes us come to the realization we don't have any righteousness to offer. And so we depend upon Christ. We look to Christ. We love Christ. We live for Christ. And we know that anything we do that's good is empowered by Christ, which is really a wonderful place to be.
What's amazing, too, is there is no Lone Ranger Christian.
Mm.
We talk about these things, and this could be somebody's goal, but it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens in a church.
That's good.
And it's important to keep the gospel at the forefront of our mind, that we are doing what Scripture calls, that we are presenting the body complete in Christ.
Mm.
And that's only the finished work of the gospel in our life.
Mm. I love that. God saves us from ourselves, from his wrath, from our own sin, and from his wrath. He saves us and reconciles us to himself and reconciles us with each other. I think that's a key component of the gospel that is oftentimes overlooked. He doesn't save us just to go live independently in the way that we want to live. We're the body of Christ. We're being built up as a temple. There's an assumption and even instruction in Scripture to be connected with one another in a local assembly. And so I think that's a key component of the gospel, that within the gospel is community living as an entity, a body of believers for the purpose of God's glory. And oftentimes the body of Christ is a significant means of his grace to help us live faithfully in light of the gospel.
Right.
And we need to remember that and make that a priority. Well, I think it's been said, you never graduate from the gospel.
Mm.
And that's true. The gospel is not a truth for baby Christians. And then you get on to more advanced things. In fact, in eternity, we will worship the Lamb slain.
Amen.
And that is a wonderful thing. We will never grow bored or weary of rejoicing in and diving into the depths and the beauty of the gospel. Thank you, men. Thanks for your time. This is a wonderful discussion.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.